So as I said at the beginning of the service, we are going to be spending each of these weeks looking at a different kind of object and all of the ways that that object has meaning for us. And so today we are looking at gates. And there are all different kinds of gates. You know, we have gates that we have in our yard, but the idea of gates is far more than just sort of a fence opening. It can be a threshold. It can be a portal. Something that takes us from one place into the next, even from one world into the next. And you can see these kinds of gates all throughout popular culture and movies and stories. And so I've got a few gates to see if you can recognize them. Okay, so here's the first gate here. Do you know what gate this is? Do you know where this is from? Well, that's Emerald City, correct. That is very good. The Wizard of Oz. Brian went to see The Wizard of Oz a couple of weeks ago, so he's very excited about all the Wizard of Oz things. We have that in our house. All right, what about this gate?
Well, that's the wardrobe.
Yes, this is the gateway to Narnia, from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the famous wardrobe. Okay, what about this gate?
Well, that's the
Any Potter? Any Potter fans? Yeah. Harry Potter fans? Yes. You with the millennial children, I'm sure, have big Potter heads. Yes, of course, this is the platform 9 3/4 that is invisible to regular old people, but wizards know if they run with full speed and belief right through the wall, they can go into sort of the magical train station that carries Harry and his friends off to Hogwarts. So these are all different kinds of gates, and they are gates that open us up into portals into a new world, into new dimensions. And in fact, when we think about the life of Jesus, the idea and the image of gates comes up time and time again. Of course, most famously, it's in Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He goes through the gates of Jerusalem, not the front gates, but the side gates, not showing humility riding on a donkey. But still, coming into Jerusalem was something that had been in the life and ministry of Jesus. He was all sort of building up to this kind of entry into Jerusalem. And on a sort of more metaphorical level, Jesus went across boundary lines, went through into different cultures, kind of crossed over boundaries where there was gender boundaries. He would talk to women and uphold them, where there was cultural boundaries, talking and lifting up Samaritans and Gentiles and all and different groups that other people would have walled themselves away from. And then if we look at the Passion story, we can also see that Jesus traversed the gates into death and then back into life and the resurrection. But before all of this happened, there was one very big gate that was gone through. And that happened at the very, very beginning, when God made this decision to come in the form of a person. When, as in Philippians, Paul writes that Jesus, not wanting to be equal to God, emptied himself and came in to live among us, to live and to die. And so this is like the gates of heaven being opened, creating a path and remaining open. So that path could then be brought. So then when Jesus came, he could bring people back to God through that same open pathway. Now, if this is all a little bit too kind of ethereal and theological and not tangible enough, and you say, hey, this is supposed to be a tangible lesson here. Well, let's talk about some gates. Let's talk about some real gates. Now, when we often will think about gates, a lot of times we'll think about castle walls, gates that are keeping people at bay, like this one, which, if you remember, is a gate and a castle that is guarded by this silly fellow. Here. For Monty Python and the Holy Grail, if you remember. And I like this image because this idea of gates is often something that we feel like that has to be overcome. You see battles through castles. They have to get through that castle wall because those gates are closed. Very often we will think of gates in this way, that gates are something to keep people out, to keep people who are in safe. And this is not an ancient idea. There are gates today, like in Buckingham Palace, the very famous ornate gates, which are guarded by very highly trained royal guard. Make no mistake, even though a lot of times they're often pictured in the context of people trying to make them laugh and them having to bring serious faces, they are very highly trained people and they are not to be messed with. And these gates are not just to be gone through willy-nilly. And we are no stranger to that here in this country either. Thinking about gates such as the one around the White House, which is intentionally separate in Washington, D.C., intentionally set apart from the rest of sort of the monuments and tourist areas. Also, if you want even more security, you got to go to Kentucky and Fort Knox, which is the most highly guarded, supposedly the most highly guarded and highly secure place in the entire country. And oftentimes, this is how we think of gates. You might even have a gate like this in your own yard to keep rabbits out of your garden. This is the point of gates, is to keep things out, to keep stuff safe inside. And these gates need to remain closed. And as we look at our scripture today, this letter from Paul to the Romans, it's very easy to have that same mentality. If, on first glance of this scripture, it might seem like a very us versus them scripture. This idea that we have the right answers. We are in the right. And all of those other people, those other ones out there, Roman society, those are the people who are wrong. We need to keep away from them. And this is done by a lot of dichotomies that Paul sets up in this scripture. If you look at it from just a little bit, the moment from wake, from sleep. Wake compared to sleep. The night is gone. The day is near. Put aside the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light. Live honorably, not with all those things: drunkenness, debauchery, licentiousness, quarreling, jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, looking at this, these dichotomies, looking at this sort of opposing language, it's very easy to say, oh, this scripture is about setting up gates. This scripture is about keeping people out, keeping out the darkness, keeping out the non-believers, keeping out all those who are listed under all of those different attributes that we have there. And if you look at, or you can think back to what Roman culture might have been like, it's very easy to say, like, well, sure, place was awful. It was a debaucherous place, and so they really had to separate themselves from that culture. But in fact, this is not what Paul was getting at. If we look at the scripture in a bit of a larger context. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit more about gates. Because gates aren't always closed. Think of the Golden Gate Bridge. This bridge is a pathway. It is an invitation to the Bay Area. It stretches from the tip of San Francisco to Marin County, so anything coming in from the ocean side to the bay side has to go underneath this bridge. It is sort of a gateway into the San Francisco Bay. Same thing if you're driving across the bridge. You come from Marin, you would come through over this bridge as a welcome to, you're officially now in the San Francisco Bay Area, and officially in San Francisco. And it is something that is designed with the arches and the way that it is is imaged, it's designed as a place that is welcoming. But I can see a lot of you are like, I don't know, man. This West Coast guy doing this West Coast stuff. Well, let's talk Midwest. Let's go to St. Louis, where we see another gateway. The St. Louis Arch cannot be closed. I mean, they maybe can put a fence around it, but the intention of the arch is that it is not closed. It is a gateway to the West. It is an invitation for travelers to come through. And it is always open. And if you want to go a little farther east, we have this little island here. Anybody know what this is? It is Ellis Island. Here, I'll give you this picture from a different angle. You might be able to recognize it better. This island, and as you can see, this pathway between with Ellis Island on one side and Lady Liberty on the other side, the Statue of Liberty, this is a gateway to a new land. You know, before the 1920s, there were no immigration restrictions in America, which meant that if you came and you were registered, you were here. You were allowed to come in. Everybody was welcome. Everybody was allowed to come. And these symbols of this island and this statue were symbols of welcome. And I believe still are symbols of welcome, symbols of new opportunity. So now, with this in mind, with this idea of what a gate can be, let's go back and look at this scripture in Romans. So let's give a little bit of context. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, which was one of the most multicultural churches in all of early Christendom. Probably second only to Corinth, which was a port church. But Rome was a very multicultural society. It was a multicultural group. So he was writing to people who were Jews and Gentiles, people who were Roman citizens, people who had come up from Jewish culture in Jerusalem. And all of these people were working together under one kind of theology, one kind of a belief structure. And so Paul was writing to these people saying that you are all united in this way. You are all united in Christ. There is not separation among you. You are all together. And what he's trying to get at with this particular scripture is he's saying that now that you are united in this way, that you have changed, that you are no longer like this world, that you are set apart. But this is not something to be exclusionary. This is not something to make yourself high and mighty about. This is something to celebrate, because what he says is this other way, this way of the world, leads to certain death. This idea of living only for yourself, of constantly trying to get more, get ahead, living with selfish desires or debaucherous desires, living for instant gratification and materialism and status and exclusion, all of these ways really only has one end, and that is death. But conversely, if we live in this way of Christ, if we base our lives on putting God first and looking for the discerning will of God, then we are living in community. We are living in collaboration. We are creating justice and equity. And this is what Paul says throughout the book of Romans is the goals that we have. But more than that, he says that you are not to be living separate from this world. You are being live separate with a separate mindset, with a different mindset. But he very much encourages Paul very much encourages that Roman church to be living amongst the world. I was looking at some of the people who have commented on this, and I really love this from Valerie Nicole Anderson. She's from the what is this? Is the Free Liberal Protestant Theology in Paris, France. And she writes this. She says, it's important to keep this section of Romans connected to what comes directly before and directly after. Remember, I love putting things in context. What comes directly before in Romans 13:10 reminds us that this short passage is connected to an ethic of love, completely directed towards one's neighbor. Similarly, what comes after in Romans 14:1 exhorts Paul's addressees to welcome those they might be tempted to judge because of their weakness of faith. He says, just because you have found this new thing, it does not make you better than everybody else. In fact, it makes you more responsible for them, more responsible for showing welcome to them, more responsible for being the hands and feet of Jesus in your community. In a way, he's saying, this is not about building a fence, putting up a gate, and closing it, and staying safely inside. That is not the way of finding peace. Finding peace means opening that gate and keeping it open and inviting all of those who are struggling, all of those who are suffering, all of those who are living this life that only leads to death, bringing them in to this gate, through this gate that you have made. It is not our role here today as Christians to build ivory towers behind golden gates and just sit and wait for Jesus the way you would sit in an airport waiting for the next plane. It is our role to be responsible for more than that, to be responsible for creating peace in our world, to open the gates, to use them as a place of welcome. It's not saying eliminate the gates. There is something very important about crossing that threshold. Something very meaningful about people changing their lives, choosing a life for the better. But we have to make sure we keep those gates open. We have to make sure that there is no separation between us and them. Because there really is no us and them. There's just all of us. As Paul was telling the Romans, through these gates of Christ, there is opportunity. There's opportunity to live in another world, another way of being, another way of living, not to be conformed by the standards of expectations of this world, but to be transformed. Because through these gates of Christ, there is renewal. Through these gates, there's restoration. Through these gates, there is community. And through these gates, there's true peace. And all of this started in a stable on the other side of the world. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you so very much for this message from Paul today. We thank you for Paul's exhortation to be in the world, if not of the world. We thank you for this reminder to humble ourselves, that we are no better than our fellow humans, but that we are just living differently. That we have been given a gift that we would most willingly and lovingly want to share. Not by telling people to believe as we do, but share this gift by caring for one another, by living in love, by building community, by reaching out, by making a space within. We pray, Lord, as we contemplate gates this week, every time we cross through a doorway, every time we step over a threshold, may we be reminded of this lesson. May we be reminded of Jesus, who had no gates, had no place to call his own, had no doors to shut behind him. May we be as welcoming. In Jesus' name, amen.